Go ahead and open in your Bibles to two places. Turn to John chapter 15, verse 1. The Gospel of John, not 1 John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1. And also to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. So we're going to take a detour this week. So we've been walking through 1 John together, and what we've seen is the main theme of the book is to be a remainer, be someone who remains with the original faith, with Christ, with John and the apostles, and so be someone who remains with them. And so we've been seeing, walking through the book thematically and seeing what are the different methods that he gives us for what remaining actually looks like, what it actually plays out to be in our lives. And so we're going to take a detour this week to tell us to look at another aspect of remaining that John gives us just out of his gospel in John chapter 15. And so let's look at the text together, and then we're going to pray and then get going into it. So John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. And so, Father, come before you, and we thank you for your word. So I pray that you would use it to open our hearts, open our minds, to reveal areas of our lives that you desire us to submit to you, and to humbly receive you, humbly receive your word, and to be able to live in light of it. And so I pray that you would give us grace this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what Jesus says here is you are to remain in verse 4. You are to remain in me. Okay, we're going to remain in him. Well, what's going to happen at that point is there is a process that remaining in him brings about within your heart as you seek to be a remainer. See, remaining in Christ is supposed to bring about changes within your heart that lead you then to become more and more and more like Christ. But you know what's interesting about this? Is that it's not just a magical formula. It's not just some kind of magic thing to where, like, we hold to Jesus in some sense, and then I guess over time I'm gonna somehow begin to think more like him, or there's, you know, I guess, it's, you know, like, sometimes we can kind of think along those lines, but what the text is actually going to tell us here this morning is that there is an actual physical process, a physical, tangible thing that is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses then to shape your heart and lead you then to become like Jesus. You see, whenever you do a job, you need the right tool for it. So, for example, I was building building an extension onto our back patio in the backyard, and I was building a deck, and so I was putting it out the side of our patio to make it double the size of our back patio. And so, you know what every man thinks when he thinks he's got a project? You're darn right I need that project because I need a new tool for that project, right? And so what do? You get your project together and you're like, okay, I need that new Milwaukee tool, or I need that new Ryobi thing. And so you like start assessing your project. You're like, okay, I need to go get this amount of wood. I need to go these kind of nails or these kind of screws, and I also need that new miter saw. Okay, so I was building that deck in the backyard, and so I went to I was looking at my miter saw, and I'm like, nah, this ain't gonna cut it. I'm giving that to my brother. I'm going to Home Depot. I'm going to get a new sliding arm miter saw. That's what I'm going to do. Plus, while I'm there, I'm going to look around and see if there's any deals on miter saw stands, okay? Because you don't want to hurt my back. Get on the ground, okay? And so you need the miter saw stand as well. Plus, you know, make sure all your impact drills and all that are good to go. Maybe you need a new Milwaukee impact drill. I don't know. It's up to you, okay? But as you're going to put this project together, you're like, I need the right tools for the job. And so now, Once you go to Home Depot and you spend $300 and you come home later, now you can actually get that job done because you've got the right tool for the job, right? This is, every man knows this. Okay, the same thing happens here in your heart. You see, God out there is not that indifferent from us, or we're not that different from him, I guess. That's a better way to say it. Because when he wants to do something in your life and in our world, he uses tools to get it done. And so what John is telling us at the beginning of this chapter is actually there is a tangible tool that the Spirit of God uses to bring about Christ-likeness in your heart. As you seek to remain in him, to become like him, he uses tools to shape your heart, to prune you, to lead you to become like him. So look at the text. What does he say? I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Yet he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. And so what happens? The gardener comes in and he prunes the branches that remain to the vine, that remain connected to the vine. And so he prunes them in order that they might produce more fruit. So I've seen this in my backyard. I planted a garden in my backyard this year. The worst $300 I've spent because the drought, I've gotten nothing out of it. And then the two things that I have grown, my boys run over and grab it off before it's ready. And so I don't actually get to even enjoy it. But I've learned this with my tomato plants that I haven't pruned these things at all. They're not doing well, okay? But if you begin to prune things out, you kill out, you take out the dead part, what happens? It's able to send nutrients to the parts that are thriving of the plant. Well, that's the same thing that Jesus says here. He's like, I'm going to do some work in your heart to lead you, to take out the bad parts, to take out the dead parts, and I'm going to lead you then to put more nutrients, pour more positive things towards the things that I want to develop in your heart. And so when we read this text, we think, well, if he's going to prune us, what's his method of pruning us? And oftentimes we look at this and we think, what's life circumstances? It's hard days. It's bad bosses at work. It's stubbing your toe in the middle of the night when your kid is coming to your room for the fourth time. Like, it's these different circumstances where God's trying to develop patience in you or faithfulness in you or whatever. But he actually tells us something completely different. It's not your life circumstances that God uses to prune your heart. He can use those, but that's not his main tool. His main tool here actually tells us in verse, he tells us what it is in verse 3. He says, you are all, meaning his disciples, are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So he says, every branch that's in me, that he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it'll produce more fruit. But you, disciples, are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Now, I don't know why the translations do this. I don't know why they put the word clean here. But the root of this adjective here, clean, is the exact same as the word prune. It comes from the same root. And so what John is telling us, what Jesus is telling us through John, I guess, is that the Father prunes those that remain on the vine. And Jesus says to his disciples, you are already pruned. How? Because of the word I've spoken to you. You see, the word that Christ gives his disciples is the tool that's used to prune them and then to lead them to be more like Christ. That's what he's saying. So the main tool that the Spirit of God uses in your heart to lead you to become like Christ is the word of God. That's what he's telling us here. That's the right tool for the job. It's the word of God. That is the method of pruning us. It's the word. So, what I want to do here is I want then to us to turn over to Mark chapter 4. Because there is a parable here in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1, that Jesus talks or tells us about, in which he tells us about four different attitudes or four different responses to the word of God coming to people. Okay, and so it's called the parable of the sower. And so here's what it says. Again, he began to teach by the sea. and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down, while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it didn't produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground, and it grew up producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. Then he said, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked them about the parables. And he answered them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive, that they may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven." Then he said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And others are like seed sown on the rocky ground. And when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those like the seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown." So in this, we're talking about the Word of God is the means that God uses to shape your heart to become more like Christ, to be a remainer who remains, continues to remain. And so in this parable, Jesus is actually talking about four different responses then that we as people have to the Word of God. There's four different types of soil that Jesus is presenting here. And so when we look at this at first, we think, well, okay, well, the sower is sowing the Word. Well, what does a sower do? What's the point of a sower? What is a sower, honestly? A sower is a farmer. A farmer is someone who goes out and plants seed in order to produce crops for his family to eat, but then also to go sell at the market or go sell at the marketplace, wherever he's going. And so you want to produce this fruit, that's what you want to do. Now, any farmer knows, I need a specific kind of soil to make this happen. So when I was building that garden in my backyard, I knew, man, I need to go, like, as I build this raised garden, I've got to go get dirt to fill it in and put nutrients in it in order for these plants to grow, not knowing that there was going to be the drought coming forever. But you got to go get specific soil. And so what Jesus is talking about here, he says there's this farmer who's going to go and sow seed. He's going to go put seed out in order to try to produce crops. And he's sowing indiscriminately, actually. And he's an interesting farmer. He's throwing it just everywhere to see what happens. I don't know if he's just kind of new to the game or what. I don't really know. But he's here, and he's sowing seed. And at first, he throws it along a path. So the first soil that he throws it along is along a path. It's hard path. It's hard packed down dirt. You know, back then, I don't know if they had, he's talking about a brick road or whatever. But he's sowing it along a place where people walk a lot. So it's packed down dirt. There's no way this seed is going to get down in the soil to be able to produce anything positive. So he sows it along the path, and what happens? Nothing happens in that person. Nothing happens. What does he say? He sowed, some seed fell along the path, and then birds came and devoured it. Verse 4, birds came and devoured it. But then later on, Jesus is giving the interpretation for this parable. And he says, here's what's happening here. He says this in verse 15, some are like this, the word sown on the path. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. What's crazy about this is there's a couple things at play in this person's heart, right? They're already closed off to the word coming to speak to them. They're hard packed dirt. Like the word can't penetrate into their heart. But to take it to another level, like they already don't care that much about what the word of God says into their life or how they should live. But even the word that was sown to them, that was given to them, Satan comes and removes that. Satan comes and removes that. So at this point, this person doesn't really even have a choice in it anymore. And that's kind of a scary prospect, right? And so at this point, there's a kind of a side note that Jesus is giving us here, and that spiritual warfare is legit. There are real spiritual beings at work trying to either pull you away from Christ. That's actually happening here in the text, is what he's saying. He's like, Jesus, this dude is sowing the word. He's sowing the word of God out, and this person is closed off. But even the word that was given to him into his mind or her mind, Satan comes and steals it away. Now, there's spiritual forces at work to lead you away from Christ. That's what he's saying here. So that's why when Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, spiritual warfare, we get one offensive weapon. It's the word of God. So, because what happens when Jesus is being tempted by the devil at the beginning of the Gospels? He's led out into the wilderness, and what happens? The devil comes and is trying to sow things in his mind to take the word of God out of him. And how does Jesus respond? With the word of God, his offensive weapon. And so this is kind of interesting. But like, if you think about like this stuff happening, you can see this happening in your own life. Actually, the Satan or some spiritual being coming and trying to lead you away from Christ. Think about your own life. Think of how many times this has happened, in which you've said, you know what, I need to read my Bible today. I need to set aside time this morning. I need 10 minutes, in which I just haven't read it in the past week or haven't read it in the past 2 weeks. I need to get back on my Bible plan. I want to sit down and I want to read it. And then you get distracted and you pull up Facebook on your phone. And then when you recognize, oh no, I've got distracted, and you try to put it up, your 10 minutes is gone and your kid's woken up, or it's time to go on to the next class, or it's time to, you know, something like that. How many times have you seen that play out in your own life, in which you get a thought and you're like, oh, I need to look something up real quick. And by the time you get done looking that up, your time is gone that you had to read the word of God. Or think about this. Anytime you're like, man, if you got small kids, you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read it this morning. Kids just went down for a nap. You're like, I'm going to finally open up my Bible. What happens? Kid starts crying. Or think about this. Like, you do it and you're like, hey, I'm going to sit down. I've got 10-minute break at work. I'm going to pull up my phone and just pull out the Bible app on my phone as I'm sitting on my 15-minute break, and just catch up on my Bible reading plan. And the second you pull it open, what happens? You get a text message. You get a phone call. Why do you think that stuff happens so commonly? What do you think's at play? There is spiritual warfare at work in your life, day in and day out. And what Jesus says here is that's what happens to this dude who's the first soil. He's the hard-packed soil who doesn't really care about what the word of God says. But when the word of God does come to him, Satan even comes and takes that away so that he doesn't have a choice in it anymore. It's a scary thought. But look at the second soil. Others are like the seed sown on rocky ground. This is verse 16. Others are like the seed sown on rocky ground. And when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. So I've seen this. Yay, they got baptized. And so this happened when I was in youth ministry pretty often. You'd have a student come and get excited. They'd hear the gospel, and they'd want to get plugged in, and we'd be pumped for them. It was usually like a youth camp thing, and they came, we come back, and we're all pumped for them, and they're excited, and we get baptized. But then over the course of the next 6 months or 3 months, begin to see that, like, maybe they're kind of backing away, and you like text them, and then they're kind of ghosting you, or they leave you on red status, and it's just kind of like, that's just the nature of like the relationship moving forward. And you're like, oh man, I don't know what's going on here, let me reach out again. And there's just no response. And I'm like, what happened? Like, how did this person get from pumped about Christ and like reading every books that I was just handing her, like, what should I read this week? Okay, why don't you read the Gospel of John? The next day she texts me. She's like, I've read that. What should I read next? I'm like, okay, I guess go to Mark. Read Mark next, okay? And she's like reading through these books. She's pumped about it. To 6 months later where she won't respond to any text messages. And we're like, hey, why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come to Wednesday night this week? Like, we miss you. How's stuff going? There's nothing. Like, how does someone go from there to there? And what Jesus says is this. We are like, some people are like rocky ground. They receive the word of God, and immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no root, and they're short-lived. And so when distress comes, when persecution comes, when it comes back time to go back to school, when it's time to go back into the kitchen where you have your parents who are just constantly arguing, you got to step in there and just kind of like live in that house. When you have to like just walk through normal challenges in your day in and day out, but then also add on to it challenges of like if you're making a transition to where like you accept Christ and you want to follow him now, what happens? Your friends are not there with you usually. And so you go back to school and you're like, man, I want to begin to make changes. I want to begin to look more like him. I don't really want to joke about the things we're joking about anymore. I don't really want to chase the guys or the girls in the way that we used to. Like, I want to transition my life away from what I used to be. There's challenges that come up, and Christ calls you to take a hard step. But then what happens at this point? You got to make a decision. Am I going to live up to what Christ calls me to do, or am I going to follow back to where I've been, to who I've always been, and to where it's fun, and to where my friends are? What am I going to do? And at this point, what you do reveals what kind of soil you are. And what happened in youth ministry, I saw this a lot, is you prove that they're rocky ground, where they received the word and they were initially joyful, but then what happens? Challenges come up to their faith. And so then you move away, you fall away. The third one is this. Verse 18, others are like seeds sown among thorns. You notice the thorns are already there. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things enter in and begin to choke out the word so that it becomes unfruitful. So the word comes into this person. This person also responds positively to the word of God. They're like, yes, I want to believe this. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what he asked me to do. But then these external factors come in, enter into their heart, into their mind, rise their anxiousness, increase their anxiousness level to where they're worried about, oh no, is Putin going to bring out the nuclear war? Like, is that going to happen? Are my kids doing well enough in school? I don't know. Like, do I need to keep them home from stuff where they can do more homework? Like, what do I need to do with that? Like, my parents are having these health issues. What do I do with this? Like, this is kind of thorny. I don't really know how to handle this. And so you got these external anxiousness like factors, but then you also have, what does it say? Thorns as well. The deceitfulness of wealth. So you have all these worries of this age, but then you also have things of like the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things, to where you're like, man, when Christ calls me to follow him, it's competing against these other pleasures of this world. And so you have these external factors that are affecting your relationship, be it things that are like bring about anxiousness or things that bring about pleasure. You have these external factors, and he says, how you handle these different thorns determines what kind of soil you are. And so what happens? These other external factors come in, and you begin to choke out the world, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so notice on this, two of these three were responsive to the word initially, right? But what happened to them? All three of them fell away. All three of them fell away. But then check out this one, verse 20. And those like seeds sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. Those who hear the word of God and receive it and humbly submit to it are those that produce fruit, 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. That's what he's saying. And so in this, there is a, John's main point here is that, I mean, I lost my notes here. This is kind of a bummer. Regardless, John's main point here is that the Word of God, your commitment, true remainers who remain committed to the Word, like your response to the Word, whether you receive the Word, like you receiving the Word, and you committing to the Word is the level, the mark, the defining point of a true remainer of God. That's what it is. Like whether your receptivity and your commitment to the Word of God. That's what he's saying is the mark of a true remainer. So that is the thing that produced, that the Word that God uses to produce fruit in your life. Now, here's a question for you. How then, if you look at this and you're like, man, we've got these four different kinds of soil. We have this soil that's hard-packed. We've got this soil that's rocky. We got this soil that's thorny. We got this good soil. If I look at my life, at times, I'm a good soil. Like I have at my time, I've had like 2 months in which like, man, I just really loved reading the Word of God. I really felt like I was in tune with God. But if I look at my life over the past 6 years or 6 months or 6 weeks, I don't feel like I'm there anymore. I feel like my anxiousness level has risen. I feel like my desire to read the Word of God has greatly diminished. I just feel like I'm just not interested at all in spiritual things. Like, so what do I do? There's a grace element that Jesus brings to you and me, and that these different soils are not fixed. It's not a fixed thing. Like, you are not 100% this soil 100% of the time. See, here's the beautiful thing about soil, and this, I think it's one reason why Jesus chose this type of scenario for this parable. Because what can you do with bad soil? You can develop it. If you go to soil that has thorns all in it, you have stickers all in your backyard, what can you do? You can rip it out of there, or you can burn it. You can rip bad thorns and bad weeds out of soil and begin to develop it and make it into good soil. What can you do if it's rocky soil? You can dig those rocks out of there, and you can make this soil deeper and then add fertilizer to it. You can develop bad soil. And so if you today are here and you're like, man, I want to remain. I want to believe in Jesus. I want to follow him. But where I'm at today, I don't feel like I'm good soil. I don't think I've listened to him recently. Or when I have read the Bible on occasion, even though I really didn't feel like doing it, I just kind of felt like maybe I should today, I didn't get much out of it. What can you do? How do you move from one soil to another? Well, what does John tell us in John chapter 15? Back in John chapter 15, what does he say is the method that God uses to prune our hearts? What's the tool? The Word of God. The Word of God. And so what's crazy about this then is the Word of God is the tool to shape your heart then to be ready to receive the Word of God. Isn't that crazy? It's the Word of God is the tool then that shapes your heart to receive the Word of God. So if you've thought recently or the past 6 weeks or past 6 months, man, I just don't have any desire to read it. I just don't have much motivation to read my Bible. I can't stick with the Bible reading plan. You know what will be the thing that leads you then to desire the Word of God and to stick with the reading plan? Reading the Word of God and sticking with the Bible reading plan. Isn't that crazy? This is what the author of Hebrews tells us in chapter 4, verse 12. What does he say? The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Why? The God who's behind it. What does it do? It comes in and it prunes your heart and helps you develop new habits to lead you then to love the Word of God, which then leads you to then develop good habits, then to love the Word of God. That's what happens. It's the Word of God that prunes your heart and leads you then to love the Word of God. Robbie Gallaty says it this way. He says, we want to get into the Word until the Word gets into us. We want to get into the Word until the Word gets into us. And so for us, as we seek to be remainers, as we seek to be people who remain in Christ, holding to the apostolic faith, holding to Jesus, But then what do we do? What's the tool that God's going to use to help us to be remainers? Read and love your Bible. Read and love your Bible, because the more you do it, the more the Spirit of God will use it then to shape your heart and lead you to then love it. That's what John's telling us. That's what he's telling us. That's the method of remaining here. So as the band comes up, I want to give you one word of encouragement. Because some of us hear this and you think, what I just heard was do better. And that's not where we want to leave you, right? See, the principle here is the more you dig into the Word, the more the Word will dig into you. That's the principle. The more you dig in, the more you'll love it, the more you'll grow. But I want to tell you this. This is not above you. Reading the Word of God and loving the Word of God is not something that you cannot attain. You see, the Spirit of God is at work in you based on your belief in Jesus. When you believed in Him and His death and resurrection, and you said, I want to follow you, then He gave you the Spirit of God to live in your heart and work in you as the down payment of your future salvation. And so now you have the Spirit of God at work in you, leading you then, or prompting you then, to turn to His Word, because His Word is the way that He wants to prune your heart to lead you then to be more like Christ. That's what's happening inside of you right now based on your belief in Jesus. Now, a practical word of encouragement is this. You can dig into the word more as you make it a daily habit in your life. You see, I know I'm a pastor, whatever, but I always struggled with being consistent with my Bible reading. I really always did. But what I did is I started to build it into one portion of my day that I really liked. And I built it in. So whenever I go run or go ride, I have my Bible reading plan on my Bible app. And so I put it in my headphones, and I just click play as I head out on my journey. I click play, and I just listen to it. I don't actually read it every day. I listen to it on my Bible app. And so now, since I built it into something that I enjoy, I love going to run. I love doing those things. So built in that as like when I go out, when I start my watch, I also start my phone on my Bible app. It's just my default now. And I'm not saying that as like, hey, look at me, I'm spiritual, or like if you're spiritual, you can do this. I'm saying if I can do this, you can do this. You can build these things into your daily routine to where after a couple weeks, it just becomes your default of like when I get in the car in the morning on my commute, I've got to drive to HEB or Hearst. I've got to drive to Hearst every day for work. My first 15 minutes of my drive as I'm going on 287 or whatever it is just listening to my Bible app, my Bible reading plan for the day. You can build these into your normal schedule, but then what you'll notice then is after a month, with that turning into your default, you'll notice then that you'll be able to be more in tune with what the Spirit is doing in your life, where He's convicting you, where He's encouraging you, where He's prompting you to go pray with someone else or to go share the gospel with someone else. Why? Because it's the Word of God at work in you, even like on days where you're like, man, I just didn't get that much out of it. It's a consistent basis working in you. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Now, building routines, building the Bible into your normal routine is not something that is above you. You can do this. And so just start with this. If you're new to the Bible, if you're new to making a plan, download the Bible app on your phone. Just go to Reading Plans and pick a 7-day reading plan. And then just read that plan for 7 days. And then you begin to build a habit through that. gentleness. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. So, Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. And so I pray that we would be people who would prize it, that we would cherish your word, that we would love your word, and through it, love you. God, that you would use it to shape us to become more like Christ. And so help us to be people who would humbly submit to it and receive it. And so we thank you for your grace. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.